offering our most humble pranams at Bhagwan's lotus feet. Dear listeners, we welcome you to yet another episode of Shravanam Mananam Nididhyasanam, our weekly series where we study Swami's discourses. And the discourses we are studying right now are from the 1990 summer course series. And this week, as we had the pleasure the last week, we are having the company of Professor G.V. Prabhakar Rao, Honorary Professor of the Department of Mathematics and Computer Science. And as always, we are also being joined by C.G. Sai Prakash from the studios of Radio Sai. Sairam Sai Prakash. And Sairam, sir, maybe before we start, on behalf of all of us, we should wish you a happy Teacher's Day. And we are glad that you're joining us on this day.
Thank you, Prakash. Sairam to all the listeners. I'm very happy that once again I'm here. I hope we'll have a very enjoyable session at by Swami's grace.
So, Sai Prakash, maybe we should start by going through a few points which Swami made in the clip which we played last week.
True. I think last week we played the clip where Swami is speaking about how the mind is referred to in the Kathopanishad.
Right.
The body and the senses and the mind.
The chariot analogy.
Exactly. So he says the body is compared to a chariot, the senses are compared to the horses, the mind to the reins, and the intellect to the charioteer. So this is what Kathopanishad says. And this example Swami has been giving a couple of times from the beginning of the series. And as we discovered in one of the previous discourses, this is so powerful because he says, if the mind is driven by the senses are the horses, and if the mind is dragged by the senses, it goes outward. But if the mind is in control of the charioteer, that is the buddhi, then the mind can turn inwards.
Right. And it's quite interesting that Swami is making the mind the reins, because given this example which Swami is quoting, it seems to be the least significant in the whole picture.
True.
So the horses are powerful, the charioteer is powerful. Mm-hmm. The least significant, it appears, is the reins.
But on the contrary, I think it is one of the most powerful and important aspects of the whole chariot. Then Swami goes on to say the difference, give the difference between pravritti marga and nivritti marga. That's the same thing. He says when we allow the senses to go free, that is the external path. Right. And controlling the senses is the internal path.
And later in the discourse, of course, Swami gives the example of the Kauravas, Duryodhana, Dushasana. And the point which Swami makes towards the end of that clip is the topic of reaction, the sound and reflection.
That's a very interesting point.
Now here I may ask a question which I'm not very sure. What exactly we mean by controlling senses? Senses are basically a kind of objects which receive inputs or give inputs, kind of a thing.
Correct, sir.
That means they are a kind of inert things.
Correct.
Now, controlling means what? Shutting them down?
No, sir.
For example, control your eyes means just shut your eyes, or what exactly we understand from the statement which Swami says, controlling the mind, when you associate the mind with the senses, and similarly with intellect.
Correct.
Now, what exactly those, because these are all the sentences we hear very common. We just believe that we understand it.
True.
But when it comes to putting them into practice, often we have a difficulty.
Correct.
It's like, you know, you like a particular theorem or something. When you want to really solve a problem, we have difficulty.
Correct.
So how do we understand that associating mind with the senses, what do we mean by that? And how do we prevent it?
In one of Swami's earlier discourses in this series, Swami is mentioning that food, anything that you take into your system, food is not only that which you take through the mouth, but what you see is also food, what you hear is also food. So all the inputs that come in through the senses can be taken as food. And he says the right use of senses is to take good food. So he says you cannot control the senses by shutting it off, but you can divert your senses and focus only on the good aspects. Stay, hear only good, see only good.
How do you do it? Because your eyes, you cannot shut down your ears. You keep hearing whatever is being said. Because that is the problem, you know. Mm. You may open your TV channel for something good.
Correct.
But you keep watching everything. So how exactly we work with it?
I think it also comes with practice. Suppose you know that you're going to a place and you're going to hear something which is not very good to the ear. Then you have to avoid that place. I think everybody inevitably does it once or twice. And learns from the mistake.
That is true. That is preventive. When you know that something not expected is coming up, probably say good, do good, all that. No, when you know that you are going to see something bad, probably you can stop seeing it.
Correct.
But very often, we don't know whether it's going to be good or not when something is happening.
Very true.
And when it happens, we are already into it. And therefore, by the time we realize it could be too late. So, how exactly we dissociate or control the senses through the mind?
That's an interesting question. I think as far as I can imagine, preventive aspect is what I can think of. But how do you...
Yeah, preventive action, I think Swami has said those things. See good, do good.
Yes.
See only good. That's right. Because that means before something happens, probably you are able to judge and prevent it. As you said, something we have seen, now we have learned, it is not good, and therefore next time I avoid it.
Right. Correct.
So that means this person is fairly developed to an extent, is able to distinguish between good and bad.
Mm.
But what happens if somebody is in the process of making, like for example, most of the youth.
Yes.
You are just fascinated by what others are doing and you think we should do it. Mm. And it may be, he may not know whether it's good or bad, and that's how most of the people move about.
Correct.
So, I'm reminded of two things which Swami says. Once Swami was explaining how to control anger. Of course, it's not completely related to what we're telling, but again, it's a thing which is spontaneous. You don't have time to control it. You know, a situation happens and you're infuriated immediately. There is no time to stop and think. So Swami would say that just see the process of anger. Something happens, you become angry, with time your anger cools down, and then you are in a frame of mind to see whether the anger was right or wrong, or, you know, what was the situation, what actually led to the anger itself. Swami would say, controlling anger is nothing but, as much as possible, bring that thought process between the situation and that expression of anger. He said it's not easy, definitely not easy, but with time, try to push that reaction as much as possible.
So you seem to have an answer there. In the sense, what you are saying is that a kind of inputs that come there, if they are made, I mean, if the reaction is created for that, then you have acted for it.
Correct.
Whereas you observe something but don't create a reaction, that means whatever input that has come to the senses has just passed off.
Correct.
Now, how do you do that? You are saying that give a gap. That means it is the mind which is observing whatever is coming through the senses. And it is the one which is going to react to that, whichever way it is. And now we have to find some way to delay between our observing the event and then the reaction associated with that. And in the middle of it, somehow see that you let the intellect comes in and tells us that whether to pursue it or not to pursue it.
Right.
And then go ahead with it.
Yes.
So that way I think we can, in other words, not the controlling the senses aspect, but the effect of what senses observe has to be controlled. And in the process, the mind should be made a kind of an observant for a while before we could decide whether we could do that or not. Right. I think that's the way which works. And I think that's what exactly when Swami said, don't get angry immediately, sit down, think for a while,
like
go
Swami's
for a walk.
Yeah. You can get angry, but make sure.
Yeah. As a kind of a way of doing it, he has told an answer to that. I think that's the way we should control.
And from the explanation which you gave and what Swami is telling here, when Swami says control the senses, as you said, senses by themselves are inert. There's nothing that controlling the senses. So I think whenever Swami is talking of controlling the senses or exercising the intellect, Swami is talking of this combination of senses and the mind and the intellect.
Mm.
Yeah,
because if you take literally controlling the senses, that's what it comes to. And very often people close their eyes, sit and but then as Swami said, you close your eyes, sit, but the mind is on the chappals outside the door.
Yeah.
I mean, because mind has got a great tendency to internalize itself. If you are not able to observe through the senses externally, it creates a world of its own and starts dreaming and enjoying that.
Right. That also is actually, yeah. Swami states it's a wrong process which happens in the mind.
Yeah. In fact, this aspect is most beautifully described in Tripurarasyam.
Okay.
It says that the mind has a tendency to steal what the senses have observed. And when the senses are not accessible, like in dream, the senses are not there, but still the mind creates, it dreams, you enjoy things, you fear things, you do that. So it's actually stealing those thoughts which were created when we were awake and then use us in the dream state. So, in other words, what I'm trying to say is blindly forcing the senses to shut down could have negative effects rather than being that. So the best thing is allow it to pass. Don't force it. Observe it. Like the famous example Swami said is that mother and the child. As long as the child knows that the mother is observing it, it tries to be naughty. If it knows that mother is not paying attention, it stops that. So the mind is also like that. So I think
associating the buddhi with the mind and the senses with the mind, that's the key.
And one more thing which Swami is repeatedly told, just going through, where Swami is explaining this concept even to Hislop when he's asking how to control the mind. He says, mind cannot be controlled. You know, first of all, don't even make an attempt. He said, but if you have deep desire for God, without your effort, mind will be controlled. The senses will be in their place.
Yeah, I think that's where sometime comes down. They're right. Replacing the bad thoughts by good thoughts.
True.
And even talking about, sir, telling, you know, controlling the senses, is it just closing the eye? In another discourse, Swami gives a very beautiful analogy. He said, what does it mean when you say, I am in control of this car? It does not mean the car is in the garage. It means you're driving the car and you have absolute control over how fast you go, how slow you go, whether you're able to turn to left or turn to right, or where you have to park it. That is controlling the car. And similarly in the senses, when you say I have control over my senses of mind, it does not mean that it's shut shop, it's not used. It means I know where to use it, I know where not to use it.
And Swami, how to use it.
How to use it. That's what Swami says, that the sages of the yore, they were all men who were in family life. It was not that they are absolutely cut away from worldly life.
Then there is this other point of reflection, reaction and resound. And Swami has spoken about this in many of his discourses. I think it's very closely linked to karma or actions that you do. As we just discussed just now, if the senses perceive something and you give importance to it by attaching the mind to that observation and then you act upon it, I think that is what creates karma. Am I right, sir?
Actually, that's what moment you put any thought. Actually, there is no word like thought in the Vedantic parlance. They call it sankalpa vikalpa.
Okay.
The mind has got sankalpa vikalpas. Basically, sankalpa means a kind of resolve. You know, when we sit for prayer, we say that today, this day, I'm going to do this prayer, all that. That's what they call it as sankalpa. So that means, and vikalpa is a dissolution of it. So in English, we say a common word, thoughts. So when some kind of a thought of that comes in, and then at the moment we try to put it into action, action is karma. Karma is action, nothing else there. So actually it becomes a karma there. And once a karma is done, it has got good benefits, bad benefits. And the jivatma has to experience both of them, whatever it is. If we do good things, that's what exactly, down the line he says, they have to experience all those things also. And therefore the thoughts become very primary for whatever we get in our lives. So it shapes our lives.
So the classic question comes up now, how can you live without doing any action? Like if you do good action also, you're going to reap the consequences. If you do bad actions also, you're going to reap the consequences. So is it an endless cycle?
It is an endless cycle, of course. But doing more of good actions will be beneficiary. In the sense, if you do good actions, your mind will become peaceful. We'll be more happy. And therefore, we tend to bring happiness to others. and a satisfied, calm mind has got a more chance of knowing its own truth rather than a mind which is preoccupied with so many other things. So in that sense, it's what I feel. I do not know how far it's true. And therefore doing good actions, because Swami also said, do karma ahoratram, but do good things so that you have the, at least you have prepared a ground for good things, and therefore mind has got a kind of, what should I say, preparation.
Correct.
To seek the soul or the its source. Whereas if you keep doing bad karmas, so you experience the bad, that means it agitates your mind, you get anger and get more and more into of it and find it more difficult to come out. And therefore, trying to replace bad karmas by good karmas or bad thoughts by good thoughts is a good process. Mm. But ultimately, it has to come down. That means you may be thinking 100 things today, but there should be a day you can think only 10 things. So that's kind of a thing one has to develop. And one way Swami has said often is that sit down and peacefully and watch your mind. Don't force it. Don't try to stop thoughts. Just see what is passing in your mind. Slowly, 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 all those things which are not relevant, they will just come and go like people in the bus stand. But only those good things, important things will be with you.
You know, when we were discussing this very point, if good and bad is supposed to be given up, good action and bad action is to be given up, then what is the point of doing good? So the kind of conclusion we came to was, Vedanta says that all said and done, you have to begin the process of inquiry. You know, in some stage you'll have to start that. And if you actually notice it, a bad man never asks why good is happening to me or why bad is happening to me. If bad happens, he says, I've done bad, I've got bad. If good happens, he's happy. Okay, I'm getting good. But it's only the man who is doing good, when bad happens to him, he stops and wonders, why is this happening to me?
Mm-hmm.
What is the process which is involved? Because I am doing good, I am having good thoughts, I am doing charity, I am doing this, but why is bad happening to me? So that process of inquiry is easier to a man who is indulging in good activities.
No, not only that, when you start saying that, why good is happening to me, one starts taking responsibilities for his action.
Correct.
Mm. Otherwise, the tendency is most often that, you know, because of whatever we live and say, God has done this to me, God has done that to me. As Swami has said many times, God doesn't do anything. He is like a postman, delivers a letter, in one house there is joy, another house there is a sorrow. Postman has nothing to do with it. So that way, I think everybody is responsible for himself. Everything, some decision we take, you have decided to one day to work in Radio Sai. That is the sankalpam you have made.
Mm.
And once that is done, that could lead to different things. Who is responsible for it? The individual who has taken the decision to do that. So that way, we have to understand that whatever is happening to us, sometime or other, we have decided to do this. And I have decided to do in a certain way. And that certain way of doing it obviously brings me certain reaction, reflection, results. And therefore, with understanding, yes, I have done this, these things are bound to happen to me, let me take it. Then the person is moving up.
Sir, Swami has told many times that you can do actions, but surrender the fruits of action to the Lord. So, does that mean that once you surrender the fruits of your actions to the Lord, and you do good, then you don't have to get back the reaction and resound of your good actions? How is it?
Yes, this is what Swami has said a number of times. That's why everybody is made to chant that in the end of the day, that prayer,
Karacharana
Kritam, all that.
Yeah.
But most often what we do is, it's a lip service. We just don't say it from our heart. It becomes a routine, we just keep saying it. It may have its own benefit, but if it is really chanted with all sincerity, that means when you chant every word we are chanting, I should hear it. I should understand it. That's the way of chanting it. If you do that, it becomes a real prayer. And then we are really offering that to the Lord. Okay? But then he also said that you sit down calmly, think about all the things, most important things at least you have done on that day, good, bad, everything. This I have done, offer it to him, and then a prayer. Then what happens? They will all go to the Lord.
Mm.
And means he becomes the owner of it. He can use it in whatever way he wants it. And therefore, you are not responsible for that. And this is for those people like us who are still lost in our ego. That means we are lost in our doership.
Mm.
But those who have no ego, probably there's no problem for them. Whatever they are doing, they are completely doing without owning the owner, without having any ownership to that. Like Swami, whatever he does, he never gets attached to that. Nothing comes to him. So that's why one day he said, you see why people come to me, they say that they want to give this to me, that to me, that. Why? I don't need all these things. But there are a few things which I really do not know. I don't know what is sorrow. I don't know what is difficulties. Bring all of those things to me. Give it to me. I'm like a fire. You just drop it, everything gets burned. That kind of thing, isn't it? You see, that to say that way in that confidence, he alone can save it. Because whatever he's accepting, probably he accepts that without any specific kind of I'm accepting kind of ego thing without there. No? So therefore, that happens. So that's why I think great souls, even though they, after their realization, they involve in the world, keep doing things, nothing touches them.
Correct.
But at our level, we are always conscious that I'm doing this, I'm doing that, I'm doing that. Even when Swami gives us a chance, we do something and then we say, I've done this, what will you give me? See, being the level at which most of us exist, the only way out for us is to offer it to him. Surrender could be very difficult.
Mm.
Because surrender, in that case, you don't even ask. Mm. You don't even question. But here, we are aware, and therefore the best thing we could do is to offer it to him. And then those karmas will slowly reduce.
Talking about surrender and offering, I came across an incident with one sannyasi was narrating. When he goes to his guru, he says the guru is aging, so he buys a nice walking stick for him. You know, a very costly walking stick. And it's make sure that it's the right height for the guru. And goes and offers it to the guru. The guru says, no, I don't take gifts. Don't give me. So he says, no, I've searched the best shops and I've brought this for you. Please accept this. So he's saying, are you offering this to me? He says, yes, I'm offering this to you. So you're giving it off to me.
Mm.
So he says, yeah, I'm giving it off to you. So then the guru takes it. So now that you've given it to me, can I break it?
Mm.
And the disciple says, no, don't break it. It's so expensive.
Mm.
So he says, then you've not offered it to me. So he says, once you've offered it to me, you have nothing to do with what I do with it.
That's what exactly I think Swami says, offer it to me. So when we give it to him, we should be able to totally forget about it. There's a nice Zen master story in this. Once a Zen master and his student, they were crossing a village. There was a dirty road and there was a young girl, beautifully dressed. She was trying to cross the road, but she was afraid that her dress will get muddy. So the Zen master straight goes to her, lifts her up, takes her across the road and leaves it on the other side, and they walk off. This student was aghast. The Zen masters, all that, they are not even supposed to look at women. How dare he can go and touch, lift her, particularly such a young, beautiful girl. So they go to their ashram or whatever it is. Mm. He's still lost, thinking that the master asks, you seem to be lost, what is the problem? Then he says, Master, I have a question. You told us about we should not look at women, that, this, and you yourself carried a woman and left it there. How do I reconcile with this? Oh, I carried that woman, left her there. You are still carrying her. So that's exactly what we mean by getting attached to the thoughts.
Mm.
We do something, we forget about it and leave it at that. It's over. But we still keep thinking about it, what has happened. That means most often we live in yesterday.
Mm.
Or we start thinking about tomorrow. And in the process, we don't know what we are supposed to do that. And that's why Swami often said, the present is not an ordinary present, it's omnipresent, because it's in the past, it's in the future. So that kind of a thing is what is clearly. So at least, whatever thoughts we come, we experience it, but keep leaving it without trying to bring it up again and again and again. Then I think we have a better way of surviving.
The last clip, Swami ended with help ever, hurt never, and reaction, reflection, resound. I think Swami is going on towards good thoughts and bad thoughts. We'll go on to the clip, sir. We'll just play the next clip.
Let's say, I think otherwise we are discussing too many.
కేవలము సామాన్యమైనటువంటి మానవులనే కాక భగవంతుని కూడా దూషించేటువంటి కాపు ఉంటున్నారు. దేర్ ఆర్ సమ్ పీపుల్ నాట్ మేర్లీ క్రిటిసైజింగ్ అదర్ ఆర్డినరీ హ్యూమన్ బీయింగ్స్ బట్ క్రిటిసైజింగ్ కేవలము వారి యొక్క స్వభావంగా ఉంటుంటారు. ఇట్ లుక్స్ దాట్ ఇట్ ఈస్ నిజముగా యోచిస్తే భగవంతుని వారికి ఏ కీడు చేయలేదు. If you truly examine, God has not done any harm. He is not cause of any hurt or harm to them. He has not harmed them in any way. Kani, ilanti paristhiti endu bhagavantuni endu kuda konni lokam vetiki konni drushtulu untaru. But there are such wicked fellows who try to find fault even in God. Ooraka sachendadige undinalaina దురాత్తకుండు నిష్కారణ మొదలేక అపకారము చేయటం వాని విద్యగా చీరలు నూరు టంకములు చేసెడివైనను పెట్టెనుండగా చేరి చినింగిపోవుటకు చిమ్మటకేమి ఫలము చేరి చినింగిపోవుటకు చిమ్మటకేమి ఫలము is minding his own business. The wicked person will not allow him even to read that. He tries to harm him. It is like the cockroaches getting into a box of silverfish. It is a silverfish which tries to destroy the claws. What
benefit
is the saris may be very
whether
it is a dirty cloth or a highly valuable cloth that just destroys it. Its discrimination power it doesn't have the thinking power at all.
దుష్టతత్వం కలిగినటువంటి వ్యక్తి ఎందు ఇలాంటి దుర్భావములు కూడా అభివృద్ధి అవుతుంటాయి.
In the same way, wicked fellows go on thinking bad thoughts. What is the cause for this kind of bad
thoughts?
Not developing good thoughts is responsible for
bad thoughts. దానిని మనం దూరం చేసుకోవాలన్నప్పుడు సుగంధాన్ని అభివృద్ధి పరచుకోవాలి.
If there is a bad smell coming, put some perfume so that it will be overwhelming.
కొంతమంది రూములు కూడా ఏ టెస్ట్ కొట్టుంటారు దేనికోసము ఆ దుర్గంధాన్ని దూరం గావించుకునే కోసం.
సమ్ పీపుల్ యూజ్ ఏ ఫ్రెష్ ఇన్ ఆర్డర్ టు
దుర్గంధం ఉన్నప్పుడు ఏ యొక్క గంధపు వచ్చునో ఏ సాంబ్రాయమో ఇలాంటివంతా వేసుకుని ఆ దుర్గంధాన్ని దూరం చేసుకుంటారు.
ఇన్ ఆర్డర్ టు ఫ్రీ వన్ సెల్ఫ్ ఫ్రమ్ ద బ్యాడ్ స్మెల్ వన్ లైఫ్ సెల్ఫ్
కనుక మానవీయ ఉన్నటువంటి యొక్క దుష్టతములను దూరం గావించుకోవాలంటే సత్సంకల్పాన్ని మనం పెంచుకోవాలి.
డెవలపింగ్ గుడ్ థాట్స్ అలోన్ విల్ ఫ్రీ మ్యాన్ ఫ్రమ్ బ్యాడ్ థాట్స్.
కనుక సత్సంకల్పం చేతని మన జీవితం సార్థకం పొందుతుంది.
వీ కెన్ శాంక్టిఫై అవర్ సెల్స్ ఓన్లీ బై గుడ్
సత్సంకల్పం చేతనే మన జీవితం పశుత్వాన్ని పొందుతుంది.
బై బ్యాడ్ థాట్స్ అలోన్ వీ బికమ్ యానిమల్.
కనుక మనస్సు చాలా ప్రమాదమైనటువంటిది.
మైండ్ హ్యాస్ ఎక్స్ట్రాడినరీ హార్మింగ్ పవర్.
కనుకనే అర్జునుడు కూడాను చంచలం హీ మనకృష్ణ ప్రమాది బలవద్రుడం. ఇది కేవలము చంచలమైనటువంటిదే కాదు చాలా ప్రమాదమైనటువంటిది చాలా దృఢమైనటువంటిది అని కృష్ణుని ప్రార్థించాడు
అర్జున. ప్రేత కృష్ణ అవుట్ మైండ్ వెల్ మైండ్ ఈజ్ నాట్ మెయిన్లీ వేవరింగ్ అండ్ ఫిక్యూర్ ఇట్ ఈస్ వెరీ ఫర్మ్ వెరీ స్ట్రాంగ్ వెరీ పవర్ఫుల్.
జ్ఞానాధ్యానం విశిష్యతి జ్ఞానకర్మ ఫలత్యాగి త్యాగశాంతి అనంతరం శాంతి శాంతి శాంతి. ఎక్కడి నుంచి వస్తుంది మనకు శాంతి? శాంతికి తగినటువంటి ఒక ప్రయత్నం మనం చేస్తున్నామా?
వెన్ యూ సే పీస్ పీస్ అండ్ పీస్, ఫ్రమ్ వేర్ డూ యూ గెట్ పీస్? ఆర్ యూ మేకింగ్ ఎఫర్ట్స్ టు గెట్ ద పీస్?
ఈ శాంతి మన యందే ఉంటున్నది కానీ బయట లేదు.
పీస్ ఈజ్ ఇన్ విత్ ఇన్ అవర్ సెల్స్, ఇట్ ఈస్ నాట్ ఎక్స్టర్నల్ టు అస్.
కనుక ఈ శాంతి అనేటువంటి దానిని మనం పొందాలనుకున్నప్పుడు తగినటువంటి యొక్క సద్భావాన్ని పెంచుకోవాలి.
ఇఫ్ యూ వాంట్ టు అటైన్ పీస్ డెవలప్ గుడ్ థాట్స్
అభ్యాసం చెయ్యాలి.
యూ షుడ్ ప్రాక్టీస్.
ఏ విధంగా ప్రాక్టీస్ చేయాలి?
హౌ డూ యూ ప్రాక్టీస్? వాట్ టైప్ ఆఫ్ ప్రాక్టీస్?
వ్యక్తిగతమైనటువంటి భావమును మొట్టమొదట అదుపులో పెట్టుకోవాలి.
కంట్రోల్ ద ఇండివిజువలిస్టిక్ థింకింగ్.
ఇక్కడ వ్యక్తిగతమైనటువంటి యొక్క విచారణ అత్యవసరము మానవులకు.
ఇట్ ఈస్ నెససరీ టు హ్యావ్ ద ఇండివిజువల్ థింకింగ్.
ఈ మానవత్వాన్ని కొంతవరకు మనం అదుపులో పెట్టుకోవాలనుకుంటే, నేను మానవుడను, నేను మానవుడను, నేను మానవుడను అని మూడు పర్యాలను చింతించాలి.
ఇఫ్ యు వాంట్ టు పుట్ దిస్ హ్యుమానిటీ అండ్ హ్యూమన్ లైఫ్ ఆన్ ద రైట్ పాత్, యు షుడ్ థింక్ థ్రైస్, ఐఎమ్ మ్యాన్ అండ్ ఐఎమ్ మ్యాన్.
కేవలము నేను మనిషి, నేను మనిషి, నేను మనిషి అనుకున్నంత మాత్రమున పూర్ణ మనిషి కాలేడు.
By merely telling I am man, he will not become a full man.
Ardha manishi maatrame kaagaladu.
He will become man only to the extent
of God. Moodu paryayamulu. I am not animal. Nenu pashuvu kaadu, nenu pashuvu kaadu, nenu pashuvu kaadu.
He should repeat thrice, I am not animal.
Appude poorna satyam avutundi.
Then only it becomes full truth.
Ee naadu nenu maanavudani ani bhavistunnadu, చెప్పుకుంటున్నాడు, పశువుగా ప్రవర్తిస్తున్నాడు.
టుడే మ్యాన్ థింక్స్ అండ్ ఆల్సో డిక్లర్స్ దట్ హీస్ మ్యాన్, బట్ హీస్ కండక్టింగ్ లైక్ ఎన్ అనిమల్.
పశువే మేలు కదా, నేను పశువు 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 అనుకుని పశువుగా ప్రవర్తిస్తుండాలి. నేను మనిషి మనిషి అనుకుని మనిషి పశువుగా ప్రవర్తిస్తున్నాడు, కనుక మనిషి మనిషి కంటే పశువే మేలనిపిస్తుంది.
కంపేర్డ్ టు దిస్ మ్యాన్ అనిమల్ ఈస్ బెటర్ బికాస్ ఇట్ సేస్ ఇట్ ఇస్ అన్ అనిమల్ అండ్ కండక్ట్స్ ఇట్సెల్ఫ్ ఇస్ అన్ అనిమల్.
నీవు మనిషి అనేటువంటిది ఎక్కడ నుంచి వచ్చింది?
How did you get this particular thing?
మనసు నుంచి వచ్చింది.
This it has come from mind.
కనుక మనసుని సరైనటువంటి స్థితిలో పెట్టుకో.
Keep your mind in proper form.
మనసును సరైన స్థితిలో పెట్టుకున్నప్పుడే నీవు మనిషిగా రూపొందుతావు.
You would become a real man when your mind is proper.
సామాన్యంగా ప్రపంచం లోపల ఏదైనా తప్పు పని చేసినప్పుడు ఎవరా పశువా అని తిడతాం. అనగా ఏమిటి? నీవు చేయవలసినటువంటి పని కాదు ఇది, పశువు చేయవలసిన పని చేశావే అని దీన్ని నిందించటం.
Whenever some person commits any mistake, he is admonished as, why are you behaving like an animal?
Vare niu manishaina kutti kudanu pasuvuga pravartistunnave ani dani ni nindinchatam.
That admonition is, after being a man, why are you conducting yourself like an animal?
Kanuka manas anetvantidi chaala uttamainatvantidi.
Mind therefore is really sacred.
Manayeva manishyanam karanam bandhamochayuhu mochchani kudanu deeniki arhata kalinatvantidi kanuka idi chedda dekta avutundi.
Mind which has got the right to get you to liberation, how can it be wicked?
Bandhana kaligistundi, bandha vimochana cheyistundi.
It can bind you and it can liberate you.
Aithe danini upayoginchukuneetundi vidhanamu manam gurtinchali.
But we should recognize the method of using the mind.
చేతిలో కత్తి ఉంటుంది.
యూ హ్యావ్ ఎ నైఫ్ ఇన్ హ్యాండ్.
పండ్లు కోసుకోవచ్చు, కూరగాయలు కోసుకోవచ్చు, విప్పరాని కంటుంటే దాన్ని విప్పి దానిని సుఖంగా మనం అనుకూలంగా ఆవించుకోవచ్చు.
యూ కెన్ యూజ్ ఇట్ యూస్ఫుల్లీ బై కటింగ్ ఫర్ కటింగ్ ఎ ఫ్రూట్ ఎ వెజిటబుల్ ఆర్ ఎనీ నాట్.
ఏదైనా కోపం వచ్చినప్పుడు ఈ కత్తితో గొంతు కోసుకోవచ్చు.
అండ్ ఇన్ ఎ ఫిట్ ఆఫ్ యాంగర్ యూ కెన్ కట్ ద థ్రోట్ ఆల్సో.
కానీ ఈ దోషం కత్తిదా?
ఈజ్ ఇట్ ది మిస్టేక్ ఆఫ్ ది నైఫ్?
కాదు కాదు, మనం ఉపయోగించుకునేటువంటి విధానంలో జరిగినటువంటి ఒక దోషం.
ఇట్ ఇస్ నాట్ ది డిఫెక్ట్ ఆఫ్ ది నైఫ్ బట్ డిఫెక్ట్ ఇన్ ఇట్స్ యూసేజ్, మెథడ్ ఆఫ్ యూజింగ్.
మనసు కూడాను అట్టిదే.
మైండ్ ఈస్ సిమిలర్.
దాన్ని సరైన మార్గంలో ప్రవేశపెడితే అది పవిత్రమైనటువంటి స్థానానికి వెళ్ళిపోతుంది.
యూజ్ ఇట్ ఇన్ ద ప్రాపర్ వే, ఇట్ టేక్స్ యూ టు ద ఎలివేటెడ్ స్పాట్.
మనస్సును మాయల మారి అని కూడా పిలుస్తూ వచ్చారు.
మైండ్ ఈజ్ ఆల్సో డిస్క్రైబ్డ్ యాజ్,
దీనే మాయా అని కూడా చింతిస్తూ వచ్చారు.
Is a delusion.
That's the end of that clip. What is that Telugu padyam which Swami says in that part? I don't know whether the translation is complete.
I think he says insects, the
silverfish,
irrespective of what is there, they destroy it.
Okay.
So similar is the nature of a person with bad thoughts. They tend to harm everything. They tend to harm everybody around them.
You don't see whether it's a good person or a bad
exactly.
person.
Exactly.
Indiscriminately.
So there is a clear guidance here about good thoughts and bad thoughts.
And Swami is giving the example of how when there is bad smell, we use air fresheners and incense sticks.
Yes.
That's how you drive away bad thoughts, by trying to cultivate good thoughts.
Yeah, that is replacing them rather than eliminating them.
Right. I think this is quite similar to the idea of sublimation that Sir was talking about last week, about every bad quality is sublimated by turning it towards God.
Yeah.
Here,
that's what it is. We should try to counter our bad thoughts with good ones.
Right.
Mm-hmm. It's equivalent to using the deodorants, etc. There.
Sir, in some other context, Swami had given one example. He says, he has compared the gains from thoughts, like what you, to the shadow. Mm-hmm. So he says, if you take the morning shadow, it is very long. And you think that the gains, what you get from having bad thoughts is very big and is very good. So people take, this is very nice. But they don't realize that as the sun goes up, the shadow reduces drastically. So the gains from bad thoughts reduce drastically. And the gains from good thoughts are like the morning, shadow, which grow. So it may be evening shadow. It may be small in the beginning, but as the day progresses, the shadow grows. So the gains from good thoughts always grow. The gains from bad thoughts keep reducing. So he's compared that to a shadow. And
this replacing good thoughts with bad thoughts. Swami tells one very nice story. It was narrated to us by Sanjay Sani sir. He said he has heard Swami narrating it only once.
Okay.
Never Swami repeated it. It's from the Ramayana, where at a point when they're living in the forest, Rama, Sita and Lakshmana, Rama wants to test Lakshmana,
mm-hmm.
you know, his celibacy, Rama mm-hmm. wants to test. And Swami would say that, you know, it's not to test him. Rama never had any doubts about mm-hmm. the qualities of his brother, but it was an opportunity to show it to the world.
Correct.
And the scene is there, Rama is in the hut and Sita is lying down, placing her head on Rama's lap.
Mm-hmm.
And Lakshmana is outside, guarding the hut. So Rama calls Lakshmana inside. He said, see, I have to go out on some work. I don't want to wake up Sita. You sit here and keep her head on your lap. Mm-hmm. Okay, and so that she doesn't, sleep doesn't get disturbed. So Rama gets up, makes Lakshmana sit, puts her head on Lakshmana's lap. And Swami says, Rama goes out, mm-hmm. transforms into a crow, mm-hmm. comes and sits on the roof of the hut, mm-hmm. and he sees what is Lakshmana doing now. And he sees that Lakshmana is sitting there, is with his eyes closed, and he is doing japam.
Mm.
He is not saying Rama's name or anything, he is saying Sumitra, Sumitra, Sumitra.
Mm-hmm.
You know, to think of his mother.
Oh.
And then immediately Swami says that Rama comes back to his form, comes and hugs Lakshmana.
Mm.
And Swami would say that, see, this is a classic example of, you're put in a situation where you have all the opportunities to have bad thought. Mm. How do you counter it? By having a more noble thought.
Oh,
great example.
That's a great example.
So from this it comes out that it is a perpetual effort one mm-hmm. has to put in,
right,
to replace the bad thoughts by good thoughts and develop enough intellect to identify or distinguish between good and bad thoughts. That's the only way to sublimate the mind or to gain control over the mind.
I think even to understand it, if you really understand that having good thoughts is really beneficial, and if you take, for example, Mother Ishwaramma's three simple thoughts, she had three simple wishes. Swami, please bring a bore well here so that the villagers can have some water. That was a simple thought, it was a good thought. And that has come into this huge water project that Swami has made. Similarly, the education and the hospital projects. So I think this kind of gives us the confidence that if you have good thoughts, there's definitely going to be a good reaction to the whole thing. Reaction, reflection, that Swami says, it just starts from a good thought.
Here again, you know, talking of the mind and how powerful it is, Swami quotes that Arjuna's verse where he says,
Chanchalam hi mana Krishna. pramadi
balam. Swami says it's not only chanchalam, it is it is dangerous, it is strong, and it is very stubborn.
Stubborn as well. Yeah.
I don't know why Swami is mentioning here, especially the problem, every problem comes from the individual, thinking yourself as an individual.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know, is Swami saying that by replacing good thoughts, replacing bad thoughts by good thoughts, you can actually transcend this idea of individual feeling? Vyakti Tattvam, Swami says.
Yes, somewhere I think in this discourse or the previous discourse, Swami says, what is a bad thought? A bad thought is one that differentiates you from the other person. I think theoretically it sounds very good, but in practical life, how do you go about doing it, sir?
No, differentiating in the sense, you know, if you are able to do what you can do yourself to the others, as Jesus said, you will overcome that.
Okay.
For example, there's a saying that whenever you want to do something, you put yourself in the other man's shoes and decide.
Correct.
Suppose I want to judge you something, or I'm trying to find out something about you. So, then I should view the problem from your point of view.
Correct.
Then in that case, the solution will come out as something acceptable. Otherwise, like the present day problem we have in Andhra Pradesh. Each one is looking from their point of view. It won't work. There is no solution. And therefore, because the two individuals are two individuals. That person is that person, he will think in his way. And I myself, and I think maybe there is no solution there. But the moment I start thinking, that's what Swami calls it as fundamental discrimination. That is, don't discriminate or decide from your point of view. You forget yourself and decide, look at the problem alone. And if this problem is somebody else's problem, how would you react to that? What would you do? So if you try to do that, then slowly, slowly, then you will start deciding things, in a way which is not individual. But the problem still remains. As long as the body consciousness is there, that problem will continue there. So the only way to come out of that is divine grace. Because only through divine grace one could come over the body consciousness. But they are all interrelated. It's not that each is an individual thing. So the more you try to become acceptable to others, your own thoughts will become less powerful. Your ego will come down. As our egos comes down, it becomes easy for us to surrender to the God. And the more we surrender to him, the more grace comes in. So that way, it goes into a kind of an iterative circle. So slowly, slowly, people will progress. It's not that it just comes.
So then he goes on to peace. He says, with practice.
Yeah.
With practice, you can... he says, what kind of practice we should do? Firstly, he says, give up all selfish thoughts. And then secondly, he says, you have to start inquiring, who am I, who am I? And there he gives a very beautiful example. He says, just saying, I am a man, is only half. It's half the truth. The second half is, you should say, I am not an animal.
Because, you know, I was just wondering why Swami is saying this, I am a man, I am not an animal. Literally, Swami is saying that you don't even have to think that I am God. First think that you are man and behave like a man. And you know, the idea of progressing to God is later. In this context, when Swami is talking about senses and bringing in the intellect before acting by the senses or the mind, a typical thing is, you know, if you... I remember one of my uncles... There used to be a street dog in the street where he was living. And he would always buy some biscuit and give it. And whenever he's coming by that way, you know, he would always give it. It was a very friendly dog because he was feeding it every now and then. One day when he was coming in by that road in the dark, by mistake he stepped on the dog. And the dog bit him.
Okay.
And the dog bit him. And then the dog realized that it bit this person who was actually feeding him every day. And after that, every time he would come by, the dog would come and apologetically come and, you know, stand by him. If you just look at this, I think this is what Swami is saying, I'm a man, I'm not an animal. If you if I come up to you, Sir Prakash, and give you a tight slap, you know, you might get angry, but you would also think that, what's happened? Why is this guy coming and slapping me? Or if somebody comes and abuses you verbally, you should stop and think that, why is this happening? Why is this person angry with me? Is there something wrong? And maybe that is what Swami is telling you, that react, but reflect and then react.
It's actually related to that. I mean, first he said, you know, replace the bad thoughts by good thoughts. That is not enough. Because then bad thoughts keep on coming. How long you will replace? You also should stop bad thoughts. Then the replacement will have a solution. So just saying that I am man and I am man, still behaving like an animal, would not give a progress. So it's good to replace bad thoughts by good thoughts. But then there must be some way to stop the bad thoughts also, so that the process is complete. So this part is similar to that, I understand. I think, like, you should say you are a man, but at the same time be aware that you are not an animal. By saying that, whenever certain actions, certain thoughts, which are animal thoughts, come to you, now you are aware. No, no, I am not an animal, I should not encourage that. So that's how the discrimination to distinguish between the two slowly grows. And therefore the second part falls off, the first part starts growing, and there is a faster progress. So that's why, even the common thing, you know, see good. Then first he said, see good, do good. But then he added the other half of it later.
Correct. See good, see no evil.
No, see no evil. So then it becomes a complete, like, see, he said, you know, science and spirituality, half circle. It's similar to that.
Sir, here Swami is saying, we are called man because we have manas, the mind. Does that mean that animals don't have a mind?
They have. I think they do not have the judgment. They go only by, as we, the sciences call it, instincts.
Correct.
That means they have a certain fixed behavior which comes to them. Of course, they do learn from the environment. When a kitten is born, it learns from its mother how to do about, how to go about, how to catch a rat, how to kill it. It learns all that. But that is totally fixed. They lack the intuition, discrimination, that kind of faculties. I think the animals, they do have it, but to a lower level. They do not have the intellect good enough to realize this body, mind, soul, that kind of a thing.
So the discriminative aspect of the mind, they don't have.
They don't have.
So
it's not that they can distinguish.
They'll have from manas, chitta. Chitta is memories. So they may learn from their memories.
No, they may have intellect also, but not to the develop to the level a human being has.
Okay.
It's more of a functional intellect, which only suits them to find their food and shelter. But this is one question.
Sometimes somebody asked that, is Sai Geeta's life, is this the last? He said, no. It's still an animal or something, he said.
So one
has to become a human being to get ultimate liberation. Because that's all limited there at that stage.
Actually, once somebody asked this question, I don't have an answer for this. He said, if you follow dharma absolutely perfectly, then you are entitled to liberation or whatever. And Swami says that man is the only animal who doesn't follow his dharma. All other animals follow their dharma. Then they say, why does it require that man should, an animal should reach the state of a man before seeking liberation?
That's what it is. You see, it is the freedom given to the man is the one which opens the door to the liberation. If you don't have a freedom, what is that? Nothing else. You are routinely doing it like a train. It's put on a track, it just keeps going, going, going. Whereas you are on a road, you are free.
Correct.
So it is the freedom that is important to... That means you are now going to think, oh, it is there, I should not do it. Okay. You start questioning that, I am not the body. I am not. Why do you question that? Somewhere you see that it is leading to a lot of controversies. So that thought starts one after one. So that your free will to do things is the one which helps you to grow, I think. Whereas that is not there for animals.
Here Swami says, the animal is better than man because it says it is an animal and behaves accordingly. We say we are humans, but we don't behave like a man. So I think that's the crux of the whole thing. He says freedom, animal freedom is separate, human freedom is separate. So if you want to sanctify the human birth, you have to behave like a human.
And you know, I think it also means that the ability to do the good when you have the choice, as sir was saying, the free will.
Correct.
Where that programming is not there in the animal kingdom, when that discrimination is given, you are tested whether the ability to use the right discrimination is there.
Yeah, they have a fixed destiny. That destiny, they will follow it. Whereas the human beings, I understand that they have the power to change their destiny. For example, you may go to an astrologer and say, this life is going to be like this, like this, like this. Markandeya is the famous example. He was supposed to die at that day, particular 16th day. He could change his destiny. That is what the human beings have. Whereas the animal kingdom or whatever lower level, they do not have it.
Talking of thoughts and talking of destiny, Swami's famous saying is there, sow a thought, reap an action. Sow an action, reap a tendency. Sow a tendency, reap a character. Sow a character and reap destiny. So, thoughts are ultimately related to the destiny. Should we go on to the next clip, Prem?
Yeah, sure. Should we play the next clip?
Yeah.
You still have time.
ఇది ఒక పిల్లి వంటిదిని.
It is
మార్జాలము.
It is something like a cat.
Something empty.
It is a cat.
కనుక ఇది మార్జాలము.
It is a cat.
ఈ మార్జాలము యొక్క విషయాన్ని మనం చక్కగా విచారించినప్పుడు ఈ మనసు యొక్క ప్రభావం కూడా దీనికి సరి అయినటువంటి సమన్వయం అయిపోతుంది.
If we understand the nature of a cat, we can understand mind also properly.
తన పిల్లలను సంరక్షించుకునే నిమిత్తమై ఈ మార్జాలము నోటితో ఖర్చుకుని పోయి సుక్షేమానికి చేరుస్తూ ఉంటుంటుంది.
ఇన్ ఆర్డర్ టు ట్రాన్స్పోర్ట్ ఇట్స్ కిటన్, ఇట్ యూజెస్ ఇట్స్ ఓన్ టీత్ అండ్ క్యారీస్ ది కిటన్.
అదే నోటితో ఎలకలను ఖర్చుకున్నప్పుడు ప్రాణం తీస్తుంది.
విత్ ద సేమ్ మౌత్ అండ్ ద టీత్ ఇట్ కిల్స్ ద ర్యాట్.
నోరు ఒక్కటే,
మౌత్ ఇస్ వన్.
కానీ ఇక్కడ నా బిడ్డలు అనేటువంటి అభిమానం చేత దాని సుక్షేమ స్థానానికి చేరుస్తుండాలి.
ఆన్ అకౌంట్ ఆఫ్ ది ఫీలింగ్ దట్ ఇట్ ఈస్ దేర్ ఇట్స్ ఓన్ చిల్డ్రన్ ఇట్ క్యారీస్.
ఇది నాకు ఆహారమైనటువంటి పదార్థం కదా అని భావించి ఎలుకలను శిక్షిస్తుండాలి.
థింకింగ్ దట్ ర్యాట్ ఆర్ ఫుడ్ ఇట్ కిల్స్ దెమ్.
మనసు కూడా అట్టిదే.
మైండ్ ఇస్ లైక్ దట్.
దైవ చింతన చేసేటువంటి వారులకు, సత్కార్యములు ఆచరించేటువంటి వారకు, సద్బుద్ధులు కలిగినటువంటి వారకు, సన్మార్గంలో ఉండినటువంటి వారు ఇది సక్రమమైనటువంటి మార్గంలో సుక్షేమమైన స్థానానికి చేరుస్తుంది.
మైండ్ టేక్స్ పీపుల్ టు ఎ సేఫ్ ప్లేస్ ఇఫ్ దే ఆల్వేస్ థింక్ ఆఫ్ గాడ్, ఇఫ్ దే ఆల్వేస్ ఎంటర్టైన్ గుడ్ థాట్స్, ఇఫ్ దేర్ కాండక్ట్ ఇస్ గుడ్.
దుష్టులను, దుర్మార్గులను, అధర్మమును ప్రవర్తించేటువంటి వారిని చూసినప్పుడు ఇది హింసిస్తుంది.
ది సేమ్ మైండ్ పనిషస్ పీపుల్ వెన్ ఇట్ కమ్స్ అక్రాస్ వికెట్ వన్స్, పీపుల్ హూ గో ఆన్ ది అన్రైచియస్ పాత్.
కనుక మనస్సు ఒక్కటే అయినప్పటికీ అనేక రకములుగా రూపొందుతుంటారు.
మైండ్ ఈజ్ వన్ బట్ ఇట్స్ ఫార్మ్స్ ఆఫ్
ఇది చాలా మోనో యాక్ట్ అంటారు. అనేక రకమైనటువంటి యొక్క రూపాన్ని ధరిస్తుంటారు.
ఇట్ డస్ మోనో యాక్టింగ్, టేక్స్ డిఫరెంట్ ఫార్మ్స్.
ఏ యొక్క సంకల్పములకు తగినటువంటి రూపాన్ని ఆ సంకల్పము ఆ రూపాన్ని ధరిస్తుంది.
ఈచ్ థాట్ టేక్స్ ఇట్స్ ఓన్ అప్రోప్రియేట్ ఫార్మ్.
ఈనాటి జగత్తునందు మానవునికి కష్టములకు, నష్టములకు, బాధలకు కారణము వారి వారి సంకల్పములే.
ఫర్ ది డిఫికల్టీస్, ప్రాబ్లమ్స్ అండ్ వరీస్ ఇట్ ఇస్ ది
సంకల్పము చేత ఎంతైనా మనం గావించుకోవచ్చును.
విత్ ప్రాపర్ థాట్స్ యూ కెన్ డెవలప్ ఇన్ టు ఎనీథింగ్.
మాత్రమైన అగ్ని మన చేతికి చిక్కుంటే, శ్రద్ధనే బలపరుచుకున్నామంటే దానిని కావలసినంత నిప్పుగా మనం అభివృద్ధి గావించుకోవచ్చు.
ఈవెన్ ఇఫ్ యూ హ్యావ్ ఎ స్మాల్ స్పార్క్ ఆఫ్ ఫైర్ యూ కెన్ డెవలప్ ఇన్ టు ఎ వెరీ బిగ్ ఫైర్.
ఇదే భగవంతుని యొక్క దీనిలో సంకల్పించుకున్నాడట.
గాడ్ థాట్
ఏకోహం బహుశ్యాం. తనకు తాను సంకల్పించుకుని ఏకంగా ఉండినటువంటి యొక్క ఇది అనేకత్వంగా మారాలి అనుకుంటుంది. అనేకత్వంగా మారిపోయింది.
హీ థాట్ ఫర్ హిమ్సెల్ఫ్, ఐఎమ్ వన్, లెట్ మీ మల్టిప్లై మై సెల్ఫ్ ఇన్ టు మెనీ అండ్ హీ మల్టిప్లైడ్.
తిరిగి అనేకత్వంలో ఉండేటువంటి ఏకత్వాన్ని మరి చేసుకుంటూ వచ్చాడు.
దెన్ అగైన్ హీ వాంటెడ్ టు ఐడెంటిఫై యూనిటీ ఇన్ ద డైవర్సిటీ.
అనేకత్వంలోని ఏకత్వము, ఏకత్వంలోని అనేకత్వము, ఎన్నిటికీ సంకల్పం మూల కారణం.
ది యూనిటీ ఇన్ డైవర్సిటీ అండ్ డైవర్సిటీ ఇన్ యూనిటీ, ఇట్ ఈస్ ది థాట్ విచ్ ఇస్ రెస్పాన్సిబుల్.
కనుకనే మన సంకల్పాలను సక్రమమైనటువంటి మార్గంలో మనం ఉంచుకోవాలి. మన నుంచి ఆవిర్పించిన తక్షణమే ఈ సంకల్పము సరి అయినదా కాదా అని విచారణ చేయాలి.
Therefore, we should put our thoughts on the proper path. The moment a thought comes, we should look into whether it is a good thought or a bad thought.
కాని మానవుడు తన తొందరపాటుతో ఈ విచారణకి ఏమాత్రం కూడా అవకాశం ఇవ్వటం లేదు.
On account of haste, man does not give room for thinking. There is a lot
of haste.
The moment he thinks, he wants to get everything, like just like that.
Kanukare, haste makes waste. Waste makes worry. So, do not be in a hurry. ఈ రకమైనటువంటి దీంట్లో పల మనం సరైనటువంటి యొక్క దీంట్లో నిదానంగా బుద్ధికి అందించి బుద్ధి యొక్క విచారణ చేత తదుపరి మనం దీనిని నిర్ణయించుకోవాలి.
Therefore, as haste is responsible for all worry, you should always hand over your thoughts to the intelligence. Let intelligence decide whether it is good or bad.
అప్పుడే మనకు
that was a small clip. And I think Swami is going on to explain the importance of thought here.
No, I think it is the typical of Swami that he will pose a problem and not enlarge it, discuss about it, issues about it, and finally gives a solution. You see that he talked about how powerful it is, then replacing the good thoughts, bad thoughts, and finally has come down to a simple solution, I mean, which can be practiced by us, that once you think that it serves the supreme benefit of those who engage themselves in contemplation of God. So ultimate solution to overcome all this is to contemplate on God, think of God. And in our case, it's a lot more simple that whenever we are doing, we try to test it on the touchstone called Swami. Will Swami approve this? Will Swami approve this? And that really helps us to decide to do and not to do. Sometimes we may not be able to put in practice, but still we are aware we have done something which Swami would not approve. And that slowly brings us a change. So that way we are most fortunate, because whatever thoughts, whatever feelings that come to us, we are able to test it, not on our intelligence, not our buddhi, but we try to see will Swami approve it or not. And that helps us to move forward much better.
So the mind will automatically aid you and help you.
Yes.
Because you are doing good.
And since we are thinking of him all the time, the yadbhavam tadbhavati, automatically some of his good qualities also come into us.
That's right. We
try to imitate him, we try to follow him, and therefore naturally we progress. So that is the greatest benefit all devotees of Bhagavan who have seen him, who have come to his fold, would experience it. And therefore they will always move forward. They have no chance of going back.
Correct.
That's what they explain. I remember when that Ramayana Saptaha was held, one of the scholars explained, he said, why is Sundarakandam called Sundarakandam? He says that is the only canto in the whole of Ramayana where Rama is not there. The hero of the whole play is not there in that section, and it is called Sundarakandam. And he says, because throughout that section of Ramayana, Hanuman constantly thinks, if Rama was here, what would have he done? And he did that. So the complete thing, though Rama is not there, Hanuman was actually doing whatever Rama would have done. And he says that is why it is called Sundarakandam.
I may share one thing which may be of helpful to all of us. Once I asked Swami, Swami, in the beginning when I came here, there was a lot of observable change in me. But now it seems that all has come to an end. I don't seem to be making any progress. He just looked at me and said, Karchudu, there is a fan there. Now, if you put off the switch, will it stop immediately? It will take its own course. The switch has been put off. That's what he said. Thereby telling the very fact that you have come to me, that your switch has been put off, and you will move towards it. And I think this applies to every one of us. So all of us, knowingly or unknowingly, we are moving forward. It's a question of time. Some fans stop faster, some fans take more time. That's all it is. So that was actually a great thing for me, to give me a lot of confidence. Oh, I don't have to worry about it.
Very, very hopeful. Really fills us with a lot of...
In talking of sankalpas, Swami is making a very beautiful point here. He says this whole creation, duality, multiplicity, it has all come because of one sankalpa. So it is again that sankalpa only which will remove it. You know, that which has started with a thought can be removed by, you know, removing that thought.
He says it's like a mono acting.
Right.
The mind functions and...
talking of the mind.
Yeah, it enacts. So it is God's sankalpa that has brought about this creation.
Right. Then monoacting, I think that is what Swami says when Swami explains about the four characteristics of the mind which gives it names, no? Manas, Buddhi, Chitta, Ahankara. It's the same mind which plays different roles,
mm-hmm.
and the roles which it plays determines the name which it gets in that situation. Correct.
I think this what the summary of this section of Swami's discourse.
Right, I think I don't know what is there to come, because whenever you listen to Swami, and that's what happens, they say, when you study spirituality, at every point you think that you've known everything, you've learnt everything, but the more you read, you realize that there's so much to know and so much to learn still. And I think that's the same thing with discourses which Swami gives, you know. Yes, of course, one discourse is enough, and hundreds of discourses is still not enough. The truth is still being revealed to you.
Now, ultimately, what we have to suppose to do boils down to a very small thing. No matter how many discourses it's only enlightens our mind. But ultimately, what we should do for our progress boils down to very simple rules, very few rules. We just have to observe them and follow them. That's all is required. And you do one thing, is very pleased. If he is pleased, everything is given to us. So the whole purpose is to please him. Because one student was saying, please Swami, please Swami. That's what I am telling you, please Swami.
Thank you.
So
thank you, sir, for joining us on this program for the second time.
It's my pleasure. As I said, I learn new things when I come here. Thank you, and I thank everybody for being with us.
So, dear listeners, that brings us to the end of this week's Shravanam Mananam Nididhyasanam. We thank Swami for this opportunity, for giving us this opportunity to reflect on Swami's message, and we offer our most grateful pranams at Swami's lotus feet for that. In a short while from now, you'll be joined by Bishu with this program Outside, Inside, Deep Inside. And as he said before we started, he's going to be talking about the Ganesh Chaturthi festival which is coming. So that is indeed going to be interesting. So stay tuned. Till we meet next week, 7:30 on Thursday. This is Prem from Team Radio Sai, and with me is Sai Prakash and G.V. Prabhakar Rao, sir, from the Institute. Taking leave of you. Thank you. Jai Sai Ram.